that there is a precious death. The older I get, the more I realize that's getting closer and closer all the time. And I believe there's a precious death that we can understand. When we come to that, it can be precious. And I believe there's a precious death in the sight of the Lord, and that's where we're going to. Precious is the death. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, and that's where we're going to take our reading lesson. But tonight, there is such thing as a precious death, and I pray that you're ready to go. And I've been fortunate enough to be around people when it comes to the end of their life to see how they handle things. And I pray that I would be the same way when it comes to that time. If you're older here tonight, if you're younger, it don't make no difference. I'm going to tell you, death's just right around the corner. You need to be prepared to meet the Lord. We're going to take a reading lesson out of the 116th division of the Psalms. I believe to be David's testimony. But y'all pray for us, and we're going to try to, like I said, first I would love to look at how death can be precious in our sight. But also, I want to look at how it is, the difference that it is in the death of the wicked and the death of the righteous in the sight of God. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, yea, are right, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return to rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted, and I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation to call upon the name of the Lord, and I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. And that's with the mistakes we made reading. That's reading down to the 14th verse. And I didn't even read my text. Precious is in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And that's reading down to the 15th verse. And I apologize. I told you, I'm nervous. Need the Lord. But it said here, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And once again, I believe there is such thing as a precious death. I've seen people who was right at death's door. A couple of weeks ago, I preached a man's funeral. He was a preacher, a friend of mine, and his wife had called me, and she said that he had asked her to call. He was dying. He had cancer, terminal cancer. He was at home with hospice, and she said she didn't think he had but a few days to live, and he didn't. And she wanted to know if I would preach his funeral, and I said, yes, ma'am, I'll try my best. So I went up there a couple of days later, and I should have went sooner because he was really near death. I went and spent time with that man. I spent an hour or two with him, and we talked. And the whole time we talked, he never had one thing to say about how he was concerned about himself, none. He talked about his grandchildren the whole time and how he wanted his grandbabies to be saved. And he talked about he wasn't concerned about himself, and we prayed, and he held my hand as we prayed, and I was crying, and he never shed a tear. He was not one concerned. One bit concerned about his death. 3 days later, the man was dead. He'd gone on to be with the Lord. He was that close to death, not one bit concerned. And I've seen that different times before. And how it can be if you're right with the Lord and you know you will walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
And there's a great difference. I've been with people before, and them on their deathbed, and them minutes away from dying, and them not be right with the Lord. And I want you to know that's a miserable watch somebody go that way. And I pray that won't be nobody here tonight would die without having peace with God. So David, he said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I want to go over here in the Philippian letter in the first chapter, about the 21st verse, and I'm going to take my text, and I'm going to talk about the Apostle Paul a whole lot tonight, and how this man had no fear about him when it come to death. He wasn't one concerned about his death and where he was going to spend eternity. And I'm thankful tonight. I want to tell you right now, I'd be a liar to say I don't dread the sting of death. I've never experienced death. I've experienced spiritual death. I've never experienced a physical death. And I'm afraid of the sting of death. I am. I'm not going to lie to you, but I'm not one bit afraid what's going to happen to me after I give up the ghost. I have no doubt as soon as I give up the ghost, as soon as I take my last breath, I'm going to go be with the Lord. And I'm thankful tonight to know that, and I pray you know that also. But the Apostle Paul says this, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so the Apostle Paul said for his life, everything to do with his life had to do with Christ. And for the last 20 years or so, down the road, I made a lot of mistakes down the road. I run from my call. I didn't serve the Lord like I ought to even before I was called to preach. But for the last 20 years or so, I've tried my level best to give my life to Him and to serve Him and my life be about Christ. Not about me, not about my wife, not about my children, not about my grandchildren. I love them. I love my wife. Anybody here tonight knows me, knows how much I love her. I love my children. I love my grandbabies, but I love the Lord. And for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And the Apostle Paul, I want you to know that's a bold statement, but he meant every word of it. When he said that, he knew if he died, he knew it would only be a gain for him. And I want you to realize tonight, the only way you can truly say that is have true salvation. Be born again. There's got to be something you experienced, not something man told you, not something that you've lived good enough, none of those things. You had to experience from passing from death unto life to be able to know that for you to die would be gain. And I'm thankful tonight to know that. I'm thankful the Apostle Paul knew that. I'm thankful as he walked along the road of Damascus going to destroy the Lord's church, going to arrest, maybe even kill. He's on his way there to do damage, and the Lord brings him down. And he calls on the name of the Lord. And I want you to realize, I believe that man, he did see the light there on the road of Damascus. I believe he got saved by God's grace. And his life from that point on was about to live is Christ. But the whole time is die is gain. He knew that was more to it than what we have here. And it truly is. What we're going through here, there's going to be times you're going to suffer, you're going to hurt. I want you to realize that man did. The people that he was a Pharisee. I want you. He sat under the feet of Gamaliel. The ones that he had been around, they turned against him because I want you to realize he turned against that religion. He no longer was a religious man, but he was a man of faith. He was a man about Christ. He was a man that had a born again experience, a change in his life. That everything he was going to do from that point on was to do with the Lord. He was trying to get back to Jerusalem, and he called for the elders of Ephesus. And we're going to go over and read to you in Acts, and we'll read another place or two here in a little while. Lord be willing, we'll try to get to a point and talk about how... the difference in the precious of the in the eyes of the Lord is the death of the ones of the wicked and the ones who are saved. But he called for the elders of Ephesus, and he told them that he'd preached repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. And he told them he'd been warned by the Holy Ghost. Not only the people was telling him, Paul, if you go to Rome, you're going to die. If you go to Jerusalem, you're going to die. And this man was not one bit concerned about it. I can't tell you if that preacher had told me this evening at 2 o'clock and he'd said, Brother Jeff, if you go up there for our view memorial tonight, they're going to kill you. They're going to stone you to death. They're going to leave you for dead. I can't tell you how I would have handled that. I can't tell you. I'd like to hope I'd still be standing right here in front of you and preaching Jesus and preaching there is a precious death. But I don't know how I would handle it. I've seen how Peter, how what he said he would do and how that ended up for him. So I've tried my best to be careful about saying what I will and what I won't do. But the Apostle Paul told him this. He said, I now behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost will stand in every city, saying that bounds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me to myself. And this is Acts chapter 20, and reading, I started reading 22. Neither count I my life dear unto me myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, testifying the gospel of grace of God. So he said, none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear unto myself. In other words, if I die in Jerusalem, if I die there, and he went on and went to Rome, and I believe that's where he would die. And the Lord told him that he would go with him there, and I believe he did. And that man, he went not feared one bit about his life. He was not one bit worried. You know what he done one time? He went to this city and he preached Jesus to them. And you know what they done? They stoned him. They stoned him. They thought they'd killed him. And they drug him outside the city, left him for dead. And you know what the man done? 2 weeks later, I believe it was, he turned around. He went right back to that city and he preached Jesus to them again. That's a man that's not concerned about dying. That's the kind of man I want to be. I want to be that kind of man. I want to be the kind of man that will tell them about Jesus, even if they throw the song books at me. I want to be the kind of man that loves the Lord enough that I'm willing to lay down and die. I want to be the kind of man that know to live is Christ and to die is gain. Do you know that tonight? I do. There's a lot of things I don't know. I don't have a lot of education. I run a business for a while. I wasn't the best businessman. I don't know. I really don't know how to pastor a church. I lean on the Lord and do the best I can there. There ain't a whole lot of things I know. But I know for me, to die is gain. And I know to live is for Christ. And I want to be able to do that. He told Timothy over there, he said he was a son to him in the ministry. And he charged Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in the middle of this charge, he says this right here, for I'm now ready to be offered, and my time of departure is at. He knew it was here. He knew he'd gone his last mile. This man was in his old hard house. He was up yonder. Do you know what he was doing? Out in his own hard house waiting to die. You know what he was still doing? He was persuading men and women to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even there, knowing he's fixing to die, he was still preaching Jesus. He was going to preach him until they took his life. And I believe he did. For I'm now ready to be offered, and my time of departure is at hand. I want to be able to say this. I don't know about y'all, but it means something to me. I want to say, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I don't know about y'all's Bible, but my Bible on the back of it's got the maps of Paul's missions, his first, second, third mission in his journey to Rome. It'll show you his travels, how he went around, and that was that man's course. And he knew he'd finished that course. He'd finished his race, and his time of departure was at hand. He knew he wasn't going to leave from there. He knew this was going to be the end. There was no fear about him. He knew where he was going, and he knew it was going to be gained. He knew his battle was going to be over. He wouldn't have to fight the good fight anymore. From henceforth, David said, I will walk. I hear people say, you can't know you're saved. I want you to know, David said, I read to you a while ago, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He wasn't talking about here. He was talking about in glory. The Apostle Paul said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that also that love his appearing. He knew he was at the end of his course. He was at the end of his fight. He knew. And he knew that there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness. Listen to me tonight. If you're out there, I don't know. I don't know nobody's heart here tonight. But I tell you this, if you don't know, you don't know that you can lay down your life and feel like this man does. If you're not confident enough in what God's done for you, I'd be seeking the Lord. I'd call upon the name of the Lord because I found him precious to my soul. There was a little woman over there sitting in the women's corner at the hilltop. I preached one time on pillars. I talked about that little sister. I said, I'd done foundation footers all my life. I said, you do pillars up underneath the house. You just dig out those pillars, and the house sits upon it. And nobody never sees those pillars. They ain't for people to see. You'll see the outside foundation, but that pillar in there is holding stuff up. And I talked about that little sister. I said, oh, she's one of those pillars. And she was. But by the time she died, she had terminal cancer, and she'd come in there and she'd ask prayer for her friends, her neighbors. Never once. I hear a dear old sister ask prayer for herself. Not one time. Every Sunday. When she died, I preached her funeral. I talked about the pillars there on Solomon's temple. I changed my mind about her. She was one of them that stood out. I went. She was on her deathbed. I went down there, and she was fixing to die, and had called the family in. And I went. I had prayer with her. I knelt down beside her bed, and I was praying with her. I raised up and I kissed her on the forehead and told her I loved her, and I was crying tears. And she looked me right in the eye and she said, "Don't you cry for me." She said, "I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm not going to hurt anymore. I'm going to tell you something. Only true salvation, being born again from above, knowing to die is gain. That's the only way you can do that. It ain't no hope so, maybe so. It's a no so." And she knew. She knew. I think about that. Paul said, "Oh death, where's your sting?" In the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when he talked about the resurrection, he said, "Oh grave, where's your victory?" This man knows something about salvation. Do you know what I'm talking about? So, it's not only precious for us. I don't want to leave my wife. I don't. I'd be a liar to tell you I do. We've got where we talk about it now. We try to talk about who's going to go first. We don't have no idea. We might go together. We might go home tonight in a car wreck. I have no idea how it's going to go. But I promise you, I do not want to leave her. I can't stand the thought of her being here without me, because I know how much she loves me. Don't want to leave my children. Sure don't. But I pray, I'm just like Jacob. Here's where I can sit on the side of my bed, talk to my family, charge my children, bring my feet up in my bed, and give up the ghost and be gathered unto my people. That's what it's about. This life ain't gonna be long. So there is a precious death for us. But I believe also it's precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints. The book of Ezekiel, in the 33rd chapter, he talks about the watchman. In the 11th verse, he said this. He said, "Unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" So it says the Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It's not his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. I believe that righteous God, in that day, if you're not saved, he's going to cast you into a lake of fire, and it's not going to bother him one bit. But he takes no pleasure in it. But I do believe, and I read it in your hearing, and we're going to go read one more place in the scripture, and I'm going to be done. I don't know how long it'll be, short, long, it don't make no difference. That's what he's laid on the heart. But I believe it is precious in his sight, the death of the saints. There's some scriptures over here in the book of Luke, and we read them in revivals all the time. In the 16th chapter, about a rich man, and a man named Lazarus. And here's where you're going to see the difference in the death. I pray tonight that you're all saved. But I pray if you're not, that you'd realize tonight you need to be saved. help if I get the right book. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and coo that my tongue, for I am in torment in this flame. And I'm just going to stop reading there, and I may not read no more, I don't know. But it said that Lazarus died, and the Lord sent angels come and gathered him and take him and placed him in the arms of Abraham. And I don't believe Abraham's God. I ain't saying that, but I believe he was a type and a picture of God here. And I believe God is no respecter of person. I believe when the Apostle Paul died, I believe the angels come and got him. And they took him to God, and they placed him in his arms, and he just took him up and hugged him and loved him. I believe when that dear old sister died over there at church, when she gave up the ghost, I believe the angels came, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. They sent his angels to come, and they gathered him up, gathered her up, and took her and placed her in the arms of the Father. It's getting closer and closer as we go down the road. It ain't going to be many years. A whole lot of mine's done passed me now. But I promise you this. When you hear of Jeff Likens giving up the ghost, don't you cry over me. I'm like that dear old sister. Them angels is going to come and give me. And you know what I'd love to hear? I would love to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I would love to hear that. I want to work. I want to labor. I don't believe working work for salvation, but I believe after you're saved, you should work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's what I'm trying my best to do. That's why I stand, no other reason. I sent Brother Casey called and asked me if I'd be willing to come. And no, I ain't here because Casey, and I ain't here because Brother Don, I love him. I'm out here because Brother Brian, I love him. That preacher asked me, he said, you ain't nervous going preaching for the big preachers? And I said, them preachers are like me. I believe they're going to be praying for me. If you got up and started throwing stones right now, I'd not be nervous. Because henceforth it's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I believe that in all my heart. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The rich man died. He failed to repent. He never put his trust in the Lord. He told him, in thy lifetime, you had all the good things. Lazarus, he just didn't have nothing. He just took and laid there. Begged for crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. But now you're in torment. Never thought about death. Never concerned about where he was going to spend eternity. I want to tell you tonight, I'm more concerned about eternity than I have about what's left here, because there's not much left here for me in this life. But I do have eternity ahead of me. I hope somebody understands tonight. There is security in the believer. Death, if you've been born again, is not an awful thing. It's just the beginning of life. But if you've not been born again tonight, he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He said that you would repent and turn. Turn towards God. Turn away from yourself and turn towards God. Seek the Lord and be saved. And you too, like the Apostle Paul, when it comes to the end of your course, you can say you fought a good fight. You finished your course. You've kept the faith. That might not have been what y'all was expecting tonight. I don't know if it went like I expected it to go. It don't matter. It's what he gave me. If I never see you again, this out of heaven, I promise you this old boy is going to be there. I got it. Calling on the name of the Lord, not knowing how to pray, not knowing anything, not knowing anything. He preserves the simple. I was brought low. Every night when I'd leave, my parents, they was General Baptist. I went hanging out with my friends at Rocky Mountain, and that's the reason I had a wall. It wasn't because I had it. My mama didn't drive. My daddy worked nights. I went to revival. I went to hang out with my friends. I walked. I went to church. A lot of times, someone would pick me up on the way. But night, I'd walk home because we'd go to the altar, and I'd stay a while. I didn't know how to pray. I don't know why I've got to tell this, but I got to noticing the ones that was crying was getting saved, you know. And I wasn't crying, so I thought, if I cry, I'll get saved. So I went to think about my pa dying, my daddy. I'd never seen him cry in my life. That's the only time I ever seen him cry. He knelt down beside his bed when he died, and he cried. And I thought about that, and I got to crying. I didn't get saved. I didn't find out till later, worldly sorrow worketh death. It takes godly sorrow to work repentance unto salvation. But that, I'd go walk home, and there was a man lived down there, a school teacher down there in the deal, halfway home. Name was Beaver Holloman. I'd get to his house, and you could cut across the fields, and you could cut out a whole lot of the wall because you had to go down here, and you know how they done roads. He went down here and cut, and I'd go across. I'd run, scared to death. The night I got saved, I walked out there on the porch, and I leaned on the corner post. And I just leaned there. I don't even think I got a skin of peanuts that night. Brother Raymond Sullivan and Brother Bobby Hill come out there, and they didn't say a word to me. They just stood there and looked at me. And they let me leave. And that night, I took the long way home. I wasn't scared. I walked on around the circle. Are you scared to die? Are you scared to die? You don't have to be. You can have a precious death. That's my message. I pray it helps somebody. If you're here and you're lost, I'd encourage you to seek the Lord today. If you're here tonight, you've been saved, hang on to the Lord. Work for the Lord. I'll turn it back over to Brother Casey.